So, good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining this call. In a moment, I will hand over to our CFO, Pierre-François Riolacci. As this is a short call, could you please email me your questions if you have not already done so, and I will read them out on your behalf. My email address is in the invitation we sent this morning. And with that, over to you, Pierre-François.
Thank you, Agathe. Good morning to all, and thank you very much for making yourself available at short notice. Actually, there is no real big news today, but we wanted to make sure, as Christmas break is also closing by, that all of you have consistent information that just came in, and also grab the opportunity to give maximum clarity on two significant uncertainties, nuclear provisions and the so-called super profit taxes in Europe. On nuclear provisions first, we have been informed by CPN that they have reached a conclusion on key parameters for calculation of the nuke provisions. One, decrease in discount rates for provisions covering fuel management from 3.25% to 3%. Two, revision of industrial scenarios for the dismantling and increase in operational and project costs. And three, cost assumptions with regard to waste volumes and conditioning costs based on technical solutions which are still in the making of by ONDRAF. Based on these assumptions, the total provisions for nuclear liabilities would increase by 3.3 billion euros at year end, of which 2.9 billion borne by Synatom. It is substantially higher than our initial proposal, which was an increase of 0.9 billion to be compared to the 2.9. Therefore, Electrabel will submit an adapted proposal based on the following. The decrease in discount rate is not justified in the context of increased interest rates in euros. Two, additional cost and risk as retained by CPN are already properly included in our detailed assessment, either in the cost base or in the contingencies. Three, the outcome of CPN calculation does not take in account European benchmark. And four, the established provisions will likely exceed the total cost for dismantling and spent fuel management. The discussions that we intend to open will fit in the frame of the law of July 12 and should come to conclusion by the end of Q1 next year. And then there is a 30 days period to decide on an appeal to the court case. So, if you are using CPN assumptions, what you may expect for provisions at the end of the year is the following. For dismantling, plus 2.3 billion, going up from 6.4 at the end of 21 to 8.7 end of 22. And 25% of the increase would be funded in 23, and the balance of it would be funded over the next 7 years up to 2030. For spent fuel, to be an increase of 0.7 billion from 8.0 end of 21 to 8.7 end of 22. And then the amount of the increase would be fully funded in 2023. Three, operational nuclear waste. These provisions are actually outside CPN control, but they will have to be adjusted at the same time to account for the new ONDRAF cost used by CPN for close to 0.4 billion euros. Which means that the total extra funding is assessed to be around 1.3 billion in 23, on top of the already planned funding, which is 1.6 billion a year up to 25 and 0.4 thereafter. Last point, last but not least, ENGIE has been expecting for years the implementation of solutions for nuclear waste management by Belgian authorities. And as these solutions are not yet fully available, especially with regard to low-level radioactive waste, ENGIE has been and is incurring significant extra costs for 1.3 billion euros, We are now reviewing our legal options to claim back this amount. That's it for nuclear provision, and I'm sure you will have some questions, including on how it will impact our accounts in 22 and onwards. But first, let's address the consequences of the new tax laws in Europe. And let's talk about the inframarginal rent caps and other super profit taxes. You are all aware of the various legislation being passed and discussed in Europe. There are three countries where it has significant impact on our financials. First, in Belgium, where there is an inframarginal rent cap implemented retroactively from August 1st, 22 to June 30th, 23, with a possible extension to be decided next April. The normative revenues, based on the forward prices and the normative hedging policy, above 130 euros per megawatt hour, will be subject to the new levy, so that, including the impact of existing nuclear taxes, all normative revenues beyond that threshold will be captured by Belgian state. In France, an inframarginal rent cap is implemented retroactively from July 22 to December 23. The tax rate is 90% above thresholds, thresholds that range from 40 euros per megawatt hour to 175 euros per megawatt hour, depending on technology. ENGIE is mainly impacted through its drawing rights on two EDF nuclear power plants, also on its gas power plants and its cogeneration plants. Other revenue streams will not be materially impacted due to pre-existing royalties or regulated prices. Finally, in Italy, there is not yet any approved inframarginal rent cap mechanism as such, but there was, as already reported and accounted for in our H1 financials, an extraordinary solidarity contribution based on variation of VAT taxable basis year on year with a rate of 25% and covering from October 21 to April 22. The draft budget law for 23 includes a temporary solidarity contribution as referred to in the EU regulation, but there are still significant uncertainties about the applicable tax law in 22 and 23 in Italy. In other countries, there are no material impact to report as of today. We are acutely aware it is difficult for you to make a proper assessment of the financial consequences of these new regulations. But what we can help you with is that based on existing price environment and approved or anticipated regulation, we estimate the overall impact for group EBIT 0.7 to 0.9 billion in 22, and for 23, 1.2 to 1.5, depending on final provisions in Italy. On net recurring income group share, the expected impact is 0.8 to 1 billion in 22 and 1.1 to 1.4 billion in 23. The high conversion of EBIT impact in net recurring income group share is due to some taxes which are not allowable for corporate tax or which are directly charged as corporate tax with when EBIT is unchanged, and to EBIT reduction where ENGIE is not taxpayer. Also, you should know that the whole increase year on year is due to nuclear in France and in Belgium. Last point, but again, not the least one, we are reviewing the final provisions in the different tax laws when they are not compliant with convention or legal framework and they are discriminatory. We will protect our rights and claim back the amounts paid. Now, before we move to the Q&A session, a few key comments. First, it goes without saying, our guidance on results as well as on credit ratio for 22 is confirmed. We had factored in some risk when we updated our guidance last November, and we are satisfied with the current trading. On Nuke, we continue our negotiation with the Belgian authorities in a constructive way about the potential extension of two units after 25. After a slow start, we are making progress, but we have also some hard nuts to crack. It is the interest of both parties to conclude as soon as possible. That's obvious. But I'm not going to elaborate any further. What happens with the triennial provision process? but also with new taxes, is a very good illustration of why there is a need for clarity and stability on regulation on waste, and why we need long-term commitment on execution from all parties, even if, at the end of the day, our nuclear operations will either stop or shrink significantly from 2025. And then on the so-called super profit taxes, you should remember that our business model is based on stable returns on long-term assets and synergies from our portfolio. We are not opposed, in unprecedented market conditions, to exceptional levies as long as they are reasonable in amount, that is not deterring future investments, and they are not discriminatory. And we are even less opposed when the proceeds are used to finance energy affordability to the benefit of customers and the economies in which we operate. Actually, we are even proud to be a resilient, integrated operator, which has contributed since the beginning of the crisis, not only to security of supply, but also to affordability through well-established profit-sharing schemes, through actions dedicated to vulnerable customers, through one-off payments to our employees, and now through the infra marginal rent cap. And I'm not mentioning the extensive use of our balance sheet for gas storage and also the various customers' tariff shields. With that, I will stop for the intro and open to questions.
Thank you, Pierre-François. So we are just receiving some questions. The first one being on provisions. What would be the impacts on your P&L for 2022 and beyond if you were to accept the CPN request?
Thank you. That's, of course, a very relevant question. So the increase in provision for the spent fuel management and operational waste will impact the income statement in 2022 in our non-recurring items, all of it. For the increase of provisions for decommissioning, dismantling, it will have an impact on the income statement, mainly in 22, in the non-recurring results. Let's say something like half or two-thirds of it will go through there. But given the higher value of our nuclear assets, including the impact of taxes, part of the increase of provision may be offset by the recognition of a dismantling asset. And that dismantling asset will have to be amortized over the residual life of the asset, that is 3 years, 23 to 25. So there will be a depletion charge that will come on 23, 24, 25, and we are talking a few hundred million euros per year. And this would hurt both the EBIT and the net income group share, net recurring income group share. So that's a second impact. And we will know when we are at the end of the year and we can draw the line between what would be non-recurring and what would be actually offset by the recognition of the of this dismantling asset. And then there would be a third item, which is that the increase in provisions is mathematically increasing the discount charge, that is plus 3 billion if you take a round number at 3%, so that gives you an idea of what would come below EBIT, but that would come into a recurring net income.
Thank you. Next question. What is the expected impact of the European energy measures and the Belgian dismantling provisions on ENGIE's economic leverage?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the taxes, it will be reflected in our EBITDA for most of it, which is, as you know, the key criteria when it comes to a debt cover ratio. And as you know, we have deleveraged significantly throughout the year so far, and we are with a lot of headroom on that side. You would also have a second impact, which is linked to the provisions, because the provisions, you know, they account for economic net debt. So this increase of 3 billion plus would trigger, all in all, probably an increase of our debt ratio of about 0.25. And you know that headroom is much larger than that. And when it comes to rating agencies, you would expect that they, of course, increase the liabilities in line with the provision. You may remember that they have already a calculation which are factoring in an increase of 1.5. So it would be, let's say, doubling their expectation on that side. And you know that we have significant headroom on all ratios. So let's say that the balance sheet is fully prepared to this increase of provisions.
Thank you. Regarding the nuclear provision in Belgium, what is the likelihood that you will win your case? Is there a possibility that your appeal will be successful, or is it quite unlikely?
Yeah, that's a good one. I think first, before we go to appeal, there is a discussion period, and I think that we should not disregard that period of discussion, which will take us up to the end of Q1. And then indeed, there is an appeal. It's a bit of a new process because, you know, this is a process which was designed by the new law. It has never been tested. I think we need to be careful and indeed not to be too over-optimistic about what would be the outcome of an appeal. But today, again, it's a bit too early since we have not yet completed the discussion phase. Decision to be made sometime in April if we follow the process. I would highlight that there is a second part of this discussion, which is that we have incurred significant extra costs because we are lacking the regulation, we are lacking definitions on waste management, and this has cost a lot of money to ENGIE, and this is due to regulation being late against the schedule, which is in the law. And therefore, we believe we have good grounds to claim indemnification on this extra cost, which can go up to 1.3 billion as calculated today.
Thank you. Could you provide us a split of the impacts per country, more or less, Belgium, nuclear, France and Italy?
Yeah, well, it depends a bit on, of course, which year and what kind of assumption you would be using. I think that for 2022, we have a big impact in Italy, and we have a significant impact in Belgium. So, and France is actually very, very limited for 22. So two countries basically in 22, Italy and Belgium. And when you look to 23, it's more balanced, and it's a bit unclear today for Italy, but we would expect Belgium and France to be close at a high level, and then Italy for the remaining part. And you've seen that there is some uncertainty in our range, which is reflecting what would happen on these three countries, and especially Italy.
Thank you, Pierre-François. Next question is, the guidance 2022 is confirmed. Should we assume that the whole guidance is still possible, or should we think of the bottom of the range?
Yeah, that's a good one. It's too early to say. I mean, clearly, we had made some assumptions on these taxes when we announced our guidance in November. You know that there is still a range, and I would say that if we are at the low end of the range, it would be pretty much in line with what we expected then. And if it is at the high end, it would be a bit more. Thus being said, taxes are only one dimension. You've seen that we have still pretty wide range. This is to reflect the uncertainties in the market that goes with volatility and that goes also with climate. Have you seen in Europe some big swings? So I think it's too early to say anything, any indication about low end, mid guidance or high end. I think that's too early.
Thank you. And then on 2023, what is your visibility for the NRIGS 2023 versus the current target of 3.2 to 3.4 billion euros?
Yeah, it's true that the current targets are a bit outdated given what happened, and I recognize it's not easy for you guys to put a number for 23-24. I think that where we can help you a bit with today's communication, one is on nuclear. Clearly, there would be a few hundreds to factor in at EBIT and net income result. That was mentioned that was in line with the recognition of a dismantling asset that would have to be depleted in 23, 24, 25. And the second one is on taxes, very difficult to model. And I know you're wise enough not to try given the complexity of the rules. Maybe you can get some comfort from what we say about our guidance 22. You have the amount of taxes which is embedded in there. And so you remember the 8.595 on EBIT and the 0.7, 0.9 of impact of taxes. And then you can see that we are planning that from 22 to 23, there would be an increase of taxes of about half a billion plus, mainly due to nuclear in France and in Belgium. So that increase, when you model your 23, you need to factor in. So that's, I think, the two key takeaways of this discussion. Now, you know that, and it's no secret, that the earnings power of ENGIE have definitely been much better in 22 and to a certain extent reset. So I think that, of course, we are comfortable with the guidance that was issued nearly a year ago, but that's not a surprise that we are higher than that.
Thank you. One question maybe beyond the two press releases that we issued this morning. So regarding extensions of the two reactors, when should we expect a decision to be made?
Yeah, that's a tricky one. Again, I'm not going to comment on,
So good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining this call. In a moment, I will hand over to our CFO, Pierre-François Riolacci. As this is a short call, could you please email me your questions if you have not already done so, and I will read them out on your behalf. My email address is in the invitation we sent this morning. And with that, over to you, Pierre-François.
Thank you, Agathe. Good morning to all, and thank you very much for making yourself available at short notice. Actually, there is no real big news today, but we wanted to make sure, as Christmas break is also closing by, that all of you have consistent information that just came in. And also grab the opportunity to give maximum clarity on two significant uncertainties, nuclear provisions and the so-called super profit taxes in Europe. On nuclear provisions first, we have been informed by CPN that they have reached a conclusion on key parameters for calculation of the nuke provisions. One, decrease in discount rates for provisions covering fuel management from 3.25% to 3%. Two, revision of industrial scenarios for the